such as yourselves, and I appreciate, Jeff, the comments that you've made publicly and privately as well about the dangerous language that's currently in the draft. And so we don't have a forward-looking timeline, and you know, our hope is that we'd like to get a new draft in the next couple of weeks that ICANN staff maybe just takes those things out. That'd be great. I don't necessarily anticipate that, but that's kind of next steps for us would be to re-engage with staff once everyone survives the week and gets back.
This is Keith Drazik, alternate chair of the Registry Stakeholder Group. That's just wanted to let you know that Jeff, again, reiterated those same comments, I think were very similar comments at least, to the board today at 1 o'clock. We had a meeting, our stakeholder group meeting with the board between 1 and 2, and I think Jeff made some very effective points in front of the board. And I don't know, Jeff, if you want to elaborate on that any further, but thought it was well done, and I think also well received.
Yeah, I think it was, this is Jeff Newman for the recording. It was the same points that I had made yesterday during the RAA session. It was on the revocation clause. Well, first it was on the consensus policies, and on that one, I made the point that we want to see the definition of consensus policies be exactly the same for the registries and the registrars. It doesn't make sense, especially in light of vertical integration and the fact that we're going to have a bunch of registrars in the registry stakeholder group and vice versa, to have completely different definitions and causing complete chaos and havoc in the policy process. So made that point, and also the point of what ICANN added without, you know, from what I understood, what ICANN added in their last draft without going over it with you, which was basically the ability for, or in the definition of the picket fence was the whole agreement itself, basically obliterating the entire picket fence. So I made that point. And then on the revocation clause, I said basically what I said yesterday, that it doesn't make sense in a multi-billion-dollar industry to expect companies to sign on to an agreement that essentially gives ICANN the unilateral right to blow up the entire business at their whim, and then but graciously offer you the ability to apply for whatever the next model is. So I said that's as ludicrous as the registrars asking you all to, in the event that they don't trust ICANN to accredit registrars, that they can unilaterally revoke as well, they can replace it with another system, and of course ICANN is free to apply to be that accrediting agency. It got some laughs, but it drove home the point that, you know, it's completely ridiculous what they're asking for.
Jeff, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so this is, I guess, further to the RAA discussions, which I don't know if you guys have thought about this or, you know, have a point on this, is that one of the requests that we've pushed back upon is that the information has to be validated prior to the domain going into the zone. That would, if, you know, as I said, we have a lot of issues with that and we've pushed back on it, but let's just say, you know, that went through. That would make a fundamental change to how domain names are registered. That, you know, how, and that registration process involves registrars and registries. So I just want you, I want to know if you guys have a point on it, have thought about it. If not, you should start thinking about it, because it is going to affect it, both of us. So I just wanted to make that point. I don't know, I'm not going to put you on the spot. If you haven't thought about it, that's fine, or if you don't have, you know, something to say about it now. But I think it's something critical, because it's going to affect the whole process, and you guys are part of that process.
Do you have any specifications as to what exactly they mean by the verification process?
I wouldn't say a specification. You could read the law enforcement recommendation, which states that before a domain goes into the zone file, the registrant information would have to be validated. Sorry, their phone and their email would have to be validated. That is in the recommendations.
So essentially for us as a registry, it would be a pending create until the point at which you would get it authenticated or verified or whatever the words that they used. You know, it's obviously something from a policy perspective we don't like. If they were to come and ask us only, is it a technical problem? no, it can be done, but from a policy problem, from a policy perspective, it's a huge issue and completely gets in the way of, you know, the whole purpose of having the registration process that we do have. And of course, you know, this is totally on a personal level. You know, I've been listening to some of the conversations you all have had, and you know, the whole concept of getting an email address just to get an email address is ridiculous. So, but that's just a personal, you know, comment.
Thanks, Jeff. So I've got James, Becky, Jonathan.
Yeah, thanks for that. And I think we certainly appreciate your help, Jeff, both in the public statements you made yesterday and today. Was it Monday? Yesterday was Monday. you know, I think the revocation is important. I think that whatever you know, whatever wish list staff has tacked on to the back of this law enforcement and GAC and GNSO process needs to be called out and removed. And we certainly appreciate having allies in that. What we will have to watch going forward is, because what I'm getting asked internally, and of course I don't have an answer, no one does, is if a name were to fail validation, you know, is this starting to cut into our AGP allowance? You know, how do you manage the financial transaction for something like that? Or will we have a separate allowance? And maybe registrars would have sanctions associated with exceeding that allowance. So these are all questions that I don't know that have been thought through in that request to pre-validate domain names.
Well, just kind of respond to that one.
Yeah, go ahead, Jim.
I mean, just as in terms of that would also be a problem we'd have to talk about, even in your proposal for the post-validation, right? Because if you were to delete it because of that, it may be within that five-day period, but it may more likely be well outside that five-day period. So even under your proposal, it's something we all need to discuss.
No, it's a good point. Becky, Jonathan, Elliot. Becky?
I just wanted to let David know that the actual exact language that law enforcement requested is attached as an appendix to the ICANN draft.
Thank you.
Jonathan?
I'll keep it very brief. I think it's something we do need to talk about some more in the stakeholder group, but it strikes me that it's self-evident that this is a fundamental change in the commercial way of operating, and the whole nature of which the ease with which and efficiency of which with which the industry works. And there are clearly operational implications for that, and I just wonder how well understood all of the consequent and knock-on effects of that are.
Yeah, thanks, John. Elliot?
Yeah, I'm struck that throughout the course of the day, as we've been discussing the RIA, you know, one of the things that we've lamented, well, one of the things that you know, you guys on the negotiating team have lamented is, you know, sort of that the GNSO positions are put against us. You know, we're in here, obviously, inside the GNSO. You know, I think we can now safely say in the last hour the registries, registrars, and non-commercials are not at all lined up in terms of positioning it like that. And I'm wondering if we're doing ourselves a disservice by saying the GNSO is, you know, pushing for certain positions instead of the IPC, BC, and ISPC are pushing for certain positions. I mean, have I missed anything in the substance there? Because, I mean, you know, you guys have said three separate times today, you know, the GNSO.
If that's coming from me, that might be me just kind of drawing a blanket because of the PDP that was kicked off. But, yeah, it may be me painting with too wide of a brush.
Yeah, I think I've heard it on multiple times, and if I'm wrong, that's great. Then we're in a good spot.
Hold on, Jeff. Yeah, Mason.
So, well, I just want to piggyback on the GNSO issue because it's going to come to light very soon. Because of the board resolution, the GNSO is going to need to anticipate how to deal with the remaining issues from the law enforcement, not the law enforcement, but the entire RAA requests. And GNSO positions, Elliot, may very well develop at that point, but as contracted parties, I think we're going to have to carefully plan and consider how to manage those through the GNSO process so that they don't become overburdensome. So that's something that, that together we need to start thinking about and planning.
Yeah, Jeff.
Yeah, and Elliot, I think you're absolutely right when it comes to the who is and the law enforcement requests. I think all three of us are aligned. I think where you're going to get divergence is that the non-commercials, at least in past discussions, I don't know if anything changed in the last hour, have wanted the right to review and approve the registry, the registrar agreements. So I think that's where there's a little divergence, because they would probably side with ICANN on adding the agreement to the picket fence and things like that. But I think on who is in law enforcement, I think you're right.
Right. Anything else, David, Jeff, Keith, on the RAA?
Actually, the first item on our proposed agenda was the topic we've talked about before, changes to our respective bylaws as a result of the possibilities of vertical integration and the desire to avoid having one entity vote in two stakeholder groups. I believe we have an agreement, more or less in principle, that that's not a good, having one entity vote in two groups is not a good thing. You can look at our charter, which is on our website, which is quite specific about the way we handle the possibility of an entity being a member of two groups, but being restricted in voting rights to one of its choice. So I'm happy to discuss that.
Before I turn it over to Volker, as I, you know, openly said to Elliot and others, we've just flat out been behind on getting our bylaws updated to address it. So now we find ourselves in a scramble, frankly, racing against the clock to make sure that our bylaws are in line with what the new landscape will be. So, yeah, Volker.
We see the same problem that you have already resolved for your group, and I just think that restricting voting rights to one group is not sufficient, because there are other ways you can make your influence heard. I especially think about the IPC, where you could be represented by someone. For example, your registrar or your IP management team, and then become directly accredited as a registry or a registrar, and have no membership in the IPC directly, but influence them through your money, essentially.
We may be deluded, but we like to think that we've addressed that. If you look at the wording of our,
okay, I might have overlooked that. That's good.
It's interesting to me that this topic was brought up in our meeting with the board, the ICANN board, this afternoon. Ray Palazic, who is, I believe, the chair of the structural committee, raised a number of questions about the possibility of the mixing of interest of groups. Country codes, for example, may become registries or registrars or both. He really pressed us as to how we were going to address this in the future. We think we've covered in our voting rules, I'm not saying that we've covered all the bases on it. I'm sure there are problems that we have not foreseen.
Yeah, I've got Mason and then Jeff in the queue. Mason?
So, yes, this has moved up on our priority list on our agenda. We agree with I'm glad to hear Ray from the board say that, David, because, we certainly share that concern that, for example, you could have a brand owner operating a registry that would want to be part of the registry stakeholder group, or could get an accreditation through vertical integration and want to join our group. We want to make sure that registrar bylaws are aligned with commercial interests of registrars.
and it's our intention. We've put a work group together, which I'm chairing, and it's our intention to have a new set of bylaws ready to review and approve by Toronto.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah, Jeff.
You say that with such enthusiasm, Matt. I know.
Yes,
it's a long
I do.
Day. You know, one of the other issues that we're dealing with, and we don't know whether it's good, bad, or we're indifferent, is the fact that we've seen recently a bunch of what do you call it? I don't know if managed service providers is the right word, but basically a conglomeration of companies that will go and aggregate clients and represent them in a stakeholder group, so they're holding a lot of votes, right? So you guys may deal with that issue already in other contexts, but this is something new to us, and we've already seen advertisements on certain blogs from certain companies saying, we're going to take all of our brands, represent them in the registry stakeholder group, and we're going to aggregate all their votes. That's a type of influence. We honestly don't have that addressed in our charter, in the sense that that's fine under our charter now. Again, I don't know if that's good, bad, or indifferent, but it's something we need to think about.
Okay, this is Keith. So two things. Just following on from what Jeff said, the issue of proxy voting or delegation of votes is obviously an issue that we need to look at, and we probably all need to look at. The other comment is adding to what Mason said. You described the registry stakeholder group, registrar stakeholder group, and IPC. It's also possible in the new world that a company that is a registry and a registrar and has brand protection interests could be in the business constituency. And we know that that's actually something that the BC is discussing. So, I mean, it really does raise some, I think, pretty significant concerns about sort of the structure right now of the GNSO. And obviously that depends on scale, right? I mean, if it's just a one-off or a two-off type of situation, it's probably something we could deal with. But if it's significant in terms of scale, it raises, I think, some real structural questions.
Yeah, no, it's a good point, and it is something that that doesn't just affect the registrar stakeholder group and the registry stakeholder group. It affects the entire GNSO. Yeah, Volker, do you have a comment?
I think it, in effect, we're defending the multi-stakeholder process against becoming a business constituency stakeholder process.
Precisely.
Okay, anything else on bylaws? Okay. What else did we... So the other issue we had was standardizing the registrar onboarding format. We've talked a little bit about that. David, if you want to...
Our representative on that is Roy Dykes, who unfortunately couldn't be here in Prague. He reported to us this morning and asked that this be removed from the agenda on the grounds that there's a meeting... I think tomorrow or Thursday, that's dealing with onboarding, and that there would be further developments, and there was nothing really to talk about at this time.
So. Well, now that we know that, now I think there's probably something to talk about, because I don't know that anyone knows about that meeting. So
yeah, we're getting a lot of confused looks, including from our liaison.
And if Roy isn't here, then maybe...
I think we have
Chuck. Yeah, great.
The word from above.
I think that meeting is scheduled after Prague because they needed more time. And it's a meeting with staff and that working group to see work through some of the technical issues with regard to the systems that they have now.
That's right. I stand corrected.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Okay. I think Michele just removed himself from the queue. I've never seen that before. it's the honorary Michele Q, so it's fine. Then we just had any other general issues that involved the contracted parties house, the GNSO issues, anything that the councilors wanted to talk about while they were here, if they are paying attention. No, sorry, I was looking to my right. No. Stefan and Jeff are looking.
I will do what I always do and turn to Jeff.
Do we want to talk about the two motions? I think first one on who is access, I'm hoping is going to be withdrawn. But if it's not withdrawn, I know at the last meeting we both had kind of decided we would vote against the motion, so I'm assuming that's still the case. And the second one was on the IRD. Where's Ching? Where's
final
Ching
report.
Yes.
The IRD final report,
right,
which was... sorry, I'll help you out on this one, Jeff, now that I can speak freely, not being in the chair role here. But the second motion is one that I made on the IRD final report, which is an international registration data, which was something that was being worked on jointly by us, the GNSO and the SSAC. A report was produced by the group. SSAC had things to say about it. It was reworked. It's now been sent to us, and we discussed this at the weekend, for those who weren't here, during the working sessions that the GNSO has at the weekend. And the sentiment that the on the contracted party's house, the sentiment was that there was no understanding as to why we'd send the report now and then comment on it. Send the report to the board, now, and then comment on it, and then move it forward. So it's all a bit technical, but there has been some hesitation expressed as to what we're doing there. And as for the first motion that was put forward by the ISPs, during the weekend there was a strong suggestion that that motion might be withdrawn, or should be. It was strongly suggested to the person making the motion that he should withdraw it. So I don't know if that's going to happen, but I think that would be the preferred outcome.
Hold on, Jeff.
How do
hold
I know?
Hold on. Sorry. Can you use the mic and just...
Yeah, thanks. Since you're the one that made the motion, how do you know whether that's not going to happen?
No, sorry, Jeff. I was talking... Wake up. I was talking about the first motion that I didn't make. Wolf made it.
Could you, and what was the motion, Jeff? Stefan?
Let me find out. Bring it up.
Just a quick summary is okay. Like,
I mean, he can't provide that.
I can do the who is. I could talk about that motion. Are you talking the IRD one?
Yeah. The who is.
The who is motion was basically there was remember that RAP group, the Registration Abuse Policy Group, that was formed in 2007 and finished in 2009. One of the recommendations was that who is access should be enforceable, reliable, blah, blah, blah. But what it was really referring to was not the data itself be reliable. It was referring to port 43 and SLAs for registrars, things like that. Unfortunately, as things get twisted and out of context and people only read the executive summary, the motion really became about the data becoming accurate, reliable. And so that's why we decided we're going to vote it down if it's not withdrawn. And the reason we think it might be withdrawn is the person who made the motion, his fellow constituency member during the council open session said that's not what we meant to his own constituency member that made the motion. So we think hopefully it's a done deal.
Thanks. Stefan, your mic is still on, but you're not.
Oh, sorry.
Speaking of waking up. Mason, did you want in the queue?
Yeah, I just wanted to. I want to say I was approached by Wolf and a couple other counselors asking if there were, and I think it was because I made the last comment on the motion on the list about, what you pointed out, which is a lot of this work has already been done, or it's either being addressed through the negotiation or through other WHOIS activity, and but Wolf and some others asked if there were a way to amend it that would make it palatable, and my answer was I didn't think so. Right? I'm not sure. Just the purpose of the motion itself seems to be repetitive, and that's the reason for not advancing it. So I'm fine with maintaining that position.
Yeah, I mean I agree with that. You know, it's almost throwing it in our faces. It's basically if they pass that motion, that'll give more incentive for ICANN staff to, you know, drill down if you haven't agreed to the SLAs and other things. I just think it's unnecessary, and it's something I'm afraid, even if we pass the motion, they'll again take it out of context, and a year from now they'll say, hey, you guys promised that the data would be enforceable, reliable, and we just don't want to go there.
Okay.
So I'm not sure, just to try and add further clarity, if it's possible, to that. The reason we're so cautious is that the motion specifically addresses the RAA PDP, so that's why we're, you know, on taking this with a very careful stance.
Yeah, Chuck.
Thanks, Chuck Combs. That term RAA PDP, we should try to avoid and change it. And hopefully we can be unified on that, because that fits right into the change in the picket fence issue that we talked about earlier.
Thanks, Chuck. And the reason I use it is not to for us to use it, is that it's specifically mentioned that way in the motion, which is why, once again, we're very wary.
Yeah, Volker.
Yeah, we're looking more for a wording that would say who is verification and data retention PDP, so two different PDPs on the different subjects.
Okay. David?
I have nothing further.
Jeffrey?
The only thing further, sorry, is, it's also been brought up in your REA negotiations, and it's something that's bothered me, and it's kind of mundane, but there's a document called the Roadmap to SAC 51, to implement SAC 51. Really quickly, what it is essentially a replacement WHO is protocol. It's really meant to be technical and changing some terms. But when the SAC, or when the board asked the staff to implement it, the staff came out with a document called the Roadmap. Unfortunately, the roadmap, the very first thing that they have in there is that the ICANN staff should enter into negotiations, legal negotiations, to get the registries to adopt the protocol. Step two is actually develop the protocol. So it's showing the true colors, and it's showing a shift, or I shouldn't say a shift, it's been going that way, of the control of, or the legalistic approach of ICANN staff, and it's something I am strongly going to object to at the public forum. It would be great to get your support. There's no reason that the legal staff should be on us to negotiate an agreement about a protocol that hasn't been developed or costed out, requirements developed, or anything else. That's not the order you do things. That's not a bottom-up process. That's not a consensus-building organization. And so I think, again, it's only the WHO is protocol that we're talking about. You know, it's some easy technical parameters, but it's the principle.
Yeah, and we love principle. Keith, anything? No? Okay, well, with that, Rob, go ahead.
Rob Golding, Othello. I've had two questions, one of which I've realized you're having a further meeting about, but for emphasis, from a registrar's perspective, we do need to have some sort of policy, procedural system relating to the application for accreditation under new GTLDs. That's the average amount of paper you have to do to get access to one of these GTLDs. In terms of an accredited registrar. If we were going to apply for all of them, that's 180 reams of photocopying. That's not, unfortunately, an acceptable method. We need to reduce the paperwork. We need to have ideas about pooling of funds, and we need a simple integration to the systems. Otherwise, they're all going to fail. The question, though, I have, or suggestion, is there a policy to ensure the reachability and availability from GTLD registries relating to access to accreditation information? I've got three simple examples. On .travel, there didn't seem to be any details on their own website on how to become an accredited registrar. On .museum, their own mailbox was over quota for sending the applications for more than a year. And .jobs haven't been seen since Elvis left the building.
I'll leave the Elvis comment alone. Yeah, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm not going to touch the last question. I think that's probably for the individual registries. There's no unified policy, but on the first point about the amount of paper, that's exactly why we're doing the onboarding exercise that we talked about, that there's a meeting with ICANN staff. There actually has been a plan and some good consultation previously, but ICANN staff has been pushing and pushing, or delaying it out, I should say, for the past, what, year? So there's been ongoing work, and if you would love to participate in that group, I'm sure they would appreciate it, because I don't know how many registrars have actually shown up other than McKaylee and maybe a couple others occasionally. So you're a perfect candidate for that. The goal is to try to reduce that paper, do things electronically, hook into ICANN systems so that we can get information from ICANN instead of getting that information from each individual registrar separately. The whole problem is that ICANN Legal, surprise, has said that to access ICANN, that there's privacy implications in accessing ICANN's registrar database in order to get the data that we would need to pre-populate the form so that you don't have to.
I've got McKaylee and then Volker. McKaylee?
Rob, if you'd like to take over from me in this regard, I would be delighted. Because it would be one less working group to have to follow. The other thing as well is that ICANN staff were asking us for... I can't even remember what the actual rationale was. It's almost as if they're saying this isn't a problem, though they know it's a problem because they're having problems getting budget to solve the problem. That, I think, was the... It was quite... Some of the back and forth has been quite convoluted. This thing about the data privacy I find rather amusing, considering...
I've seen as they're demanding we put it on our website to make it publicly accessible for the LEAs. There is no privacy issue.
No, there isn't a public privacy issue. I don't see a privacy issue. So, I don't know.
Yeah, Volker?
Yeah, I just wanted to say almost the same thing. It's very amusing that suddenly ICANN seems to know what data privacy is, when they don't seem to know what data privacy is for registrants and registrars as well, on the other hand, when they're talking to us.
Yeah, go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, we've been asking, the registries have been asking for access to the radar system forever, and they keep saying they can't do that without the registrar's consent and that there's privacy issues with us getting that information. So just so you know that, we would love access to the radar. It would make our jobs much simpler, but that was refused several years ago.
The next time I can ask that, just tell them that we said, where can we sign?
Last second, Lars.
Tim Cole.
I just want to say that ICANN has been sending data from the radar system to all registries for a couple of years now.
No.
On a monthly basis.
Sorry. That's different. It's not that you're sending us the data, it's us being able to access radar itself.
Right, the resolution to that request was to send the data so that you could use it all at once and update your files.
Yeah, and we get it in email form.
Jeff.
So it doesn't, it's
Jeff.
Not able, yes, sorry.
We'll take it offline, guys. Yes.
Thanks.
Okay, well, I think with that, we'll thank the registry folks for coming in and making time for us. Appreciate all of your collaboration and work with us during the week, and it's only Tuesday. So thanks for that. A couple of housekeeping items for us, and then is it 4:45 that the GAC board interaction starts? Okay. Tim Cole has some info on drinks with the board tonight, which is always important. So, Tim?
Yeah. The final real word on it is that it's from, 7 to 8:30, and... it is in the atrium, which is where breakfast is normally served. I know we had a reception there a couple nights ago, and at that time it was all on the left hand side. You went in and turned left, and you just had the place blocked off just for that group, and they have a bar and hors d'oeuvres and whatnot. So it is right on the main lobby level. You just go through under the stairs and just go through, and I believe you'll turn left once you go under the stairs, but maybe they've turned it around for tonight, but that's what I expect.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Tim. Just real quick, maybe a show of hands. You know, we've got 30 minutes in a closed session from 5 to 5:30. We're more than happy to do it if we'd like, but I'm seeing shakes of heads no. So I think, you know, we'll make ourselves available. Obviously, we're here during the week, and we'll continue to follow up. Just a couple of other points. I wanted to take a moment I neglected earlier to thank Gray for his work as chair in our last meeting in Costa Rica. So just a round of applause to him. And for those of you that don't know, Gray actually took on, are you the COO now? Yeah, Chief Operating Officer role. So congratulations to him for that. And he has freed himself greatly during the week here. So he's probably been off enjoying himself. So thanks, Gray. I appreciate your work. Also, thanks to Mr. Cole and his team as well, Mike and Steve, for not just being here and supporting us during the week, but all the support that you give us ongoing as well. So thanks to you guys. And then just a thanks to the meeting staff and the technical folks that, once again, just a flawless performance, and so hats off to them, and thanks to them. And then we will officially consider ourselves adjourned. So thanks, everyone. Don't forget, we've got drinks with the board later tonight. Thanks. 7 o'clock, 1900.
Stop the recording, operator. Please, operator.